Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I tell you what, Davis, the guys that Machinery Pete was just featuring there, they are winning with these auction prices on the tractors and combines that we talked about there. We had a lot more to cover, but it's so important, I think, to understand some of the underlying trends that are happening in this machinery market right now that we're going to spend some more time on that.
Yeah, and the idea that we could be coming up on a period where we see price trends begin to become a little bit more localized is very interesting and definitely worth our attention.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's bring in John Newton. John is the economist for the American Farm Bureau Federation. John, welcome to AgriTalk. It's so good to talk with you.
Yeah, long time listener. Looking forward to joining you today.
Absolutely, John, and I appreciate your willingness to come on the show. I'm sure that this is going to be the first of many to come because I want to talk about these trade issues with you. John, the deal with Japan, number one, do you believe it? Is it a deal?
Yeah, I think it's an agreement in principle. Okay. We've yet to see any details yet.
Right. And what do you think that does for us, and which markets are going to be impacted the most?
Well, I think you guys were just talking about it, what the market's done on livestock, beef, pork. But, you know, we need to see details on what this looks like. I think it's going to look a lot like what we agreed upon in TPP.
Yeah. And why is it most important to the livestock trade? I mean, is it a leveling of the playing field? Is it just opening up more market access? What is it?
Well, it's certainly a leveling of the playing field. When you think that Japan now has, CPTPP as well as an agreement with the Europeans, it's our top market for livestock products. Japan is this year $1.9 billion in sales so far through the first half of the year. But we're behind the eight ball, so this certainly helps get us back on a level playing field with those under the CPTPP. We've got to see the details, though, to see exactly how level that playing field is going to be.
Right. There's still some skepticism. I mean, we've got the strength going in the livestock markets today, and I think, like Brian was just saying, a lot of that is in reaction to the agreement in principle with Japan. But I think there's a segment out there in the industry that wants to see this turn into actual purchases before they get too excited about it, right?
Well, I think that's exactly, over the weekend, the information that you're seeing is, look, this is an agreement in principle, but Abe said, look, our companies are the ones that are going to buy it. It's not government purchases. So we still got to get out there, compete, and get that business. And I think a lot of folks are looking forward to that opportunity.
Good stuff. Okay, with China, now we get the tweets or the comments from President Donald Trump this morning that the Chinese negotiating team has made contact with the U.S. trade negotiating team and wants to get back to the table. I haven't seen any real confirmation of that yet, and I'm sorry, but I'm a little skeptical that it actually happened.
I think it's, we've seen this now for a year and a half, the back and forth. We're going to make a deal. We're close to a deal. Now we've walked back away from the table. I think everybody just wants to see something get done. I think it's, what the Chinese do on the trade front, it's about time that we've stood up to them. But we need others. We can't go it alone. And I think some of our other trading partners are more than happy that we're taking up this fight, because not only if China starts to behave better, that's a win, but they also get to service the Chinese market while we're over here on the sidelines. So I think we'd like to see business return to normal.
Yeah, we would like to see business return to normal. There's no question, and I think you are exactly right with some of the people that are some of the countries that are benefiting from the trade disruptions between China and the U.S. right now, because they're selling more product in there. And B, those same countries want to see the U.S. be successful in the trade negotiations, because it's going to make it better for them long in the long run, but they're not willing to stand up and fight with us on this, John. It's frustrating to say the least.
I'm not sure, what the if there was ever an invitation for them to step up and fight with us on that issue. I think maybe at the G summit there's been some talk about bringing some other countries into the fold, I would hope, to stand up against China and make them right the wrongs, what they've done in terms of intellectual property theft and forced technology transfer. It's about time that they start to be fair trading partners with the rest of the world.
Yeah, John, it's been fascinating to me to watch farmer attitudes toward the trade talks with China. And last week, it felt like there was one group, and that one group was basically, come on, let's get it done. And then over the weekend, another group, I think, started to kind of materialize out there, and it was the group that's thinking, let's just blow this whole thing up. Let's go to 100% tariff on 100% of the goods coming into the U.S. from China and really put it to them, because how much more damage can you do to U.S. agriculture with China because they're not buying anything right now? Feels like a bit of a dangerous attitude just because of what it might do to the global economy.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, these are the top two economies in the world going at it. I think we saw the Congressional Budget Office last week adjust their expectations for U.S. economic growth down to below 2% due to the trade war. This could have major implications on our economic growth. We've had 39 consecutive quarters of positive GDP growth, but how much longer can that last with a tight labor market, inverted yield curve? I mean, there's a lot of headwinds out there that make you think a slowdown is on the horizon if we don't get this trade war fixed.
Okay. All right. What about the rumblings or the reports that we're getting on the RFS right now, John, where evidently President, as Davis reported earlier in the show, that President Trump has said, okay, we're going to honor those 31 small refinery exemptions that were announced earlier, but we're going to be looking at increasing the mandated blending requirements. I don't know how to make those two things mesh.
Well, a $500 million gallon additional blending, that's a drop in the bucket compared to these small refinery exemptions. We're talking about SREs representing nearly 4.2 billion gallons, and so I think more needs to be done on that front. More blending, certainly more than 500 million gallons. Needs to be considered if we're going to offset the damage done and the demand destruction due to these exemptions.
Yeah, John, what's the American Farm Bureau doing on the SREs to get the message to the White House?
Well, I think one of the things we're doing, we're filing our comments this week on the RFS, and we're going to talk about the proposed requirements. We're going to talk about the SREs. We're going to talk about the blending requirements, and we have a good working relationship with the EPA, everything we're doing on the waters of the U.S. front. And so I think, we'll continue to work those channels, continue to have that dialogue, not only with EPA, but also with USDA. President Zippy Duvall has a very good relationship with Sonny Perdue. So we'll continue to work those channels and communicate the concerns of our members over these SRE exemptions.
Okay. Yeah, boy, I'd sure like to see... I'd like to see a win for the ethanol producers out there, because it's been so long. It's obviously, with the moves that POET made last week to pull back on production, that's showing some real frustration that they're dealing with in the industry.
Well, I think, you guys were just talking about it earlier. Japan's going to come in and buy all this corn.
Yeah.
Maybe that's meant to offset, the demand destruction due to SREs. Yeah. I think that's... that's the big story here is the demand destruction. We need to add additional blending requirements to offset that. And I think it's going to be a tough fight on our hands. The big refiners aren't going to want to blend more than the current requirements, but we've got to offset those SREs. 31 SREs were granted. That's a acceptance rate of something around 80%. So,
yeah.
There needs to be something done there.
Yeah, request it and get it is basically what that says. Hey, what's the latest on the MFP, the first round of MFP 2.0 payments?
Well, we did get the information on USDA's methodology on how they came up with those county-based payment rates last week. Sign-ups open, I think, through December 2nd, so folks need to get in and get that information completed so they can get those program payments. And I think we've just been working with our folks, helping them understand, what acres are actually eligible, what cover crop acres are eligible, and working through some of the unknowns there and guiding them to their local FSA offices to get that paperwork filled out.
Okay, very good. I don't have a lot of time, but I got to ask you, what else is on your priority list?
Well, I just got back from Hawaii, brother, so I'm digging out from about 300 emails and trying to figure out what all I need to handle. But certainly, one of the other big things on my list right now is just educating people. Everybody's talking about the FSA versus NAS acreage the 5 million acre gap on corn. So trying to help people understand that's normal. We see that every year, and FSA acreage is going to continue to update. But I think we've got some broader concerns after that June acreage report, and we're going to be reaching out to the department and try to see if we can get some fixes on that going forward. This has been a historical year in terms of delayed plantings and everything else, and I think it's an opportunity to look at the way we're doing things and think about how we can improve it.
Awesome. Good stuff, John. Thanks. We'll have you on again here real soon, all right?
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, Chip.
You bet. That is John Newton, economist, American Farm Bureau Federation. Got a busy guy up next, Matt Youngman from Farm Progress.